12th chapter of Mark's Gospel. Read verses 41 through 44. Jesus sat opposite the treasure and saw how people put money into the treasure. Many who were rich put in much. A certain poor widow came and threw in two mites, two small copper coins. And he called his disciples to him and said to them, "Assuredly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given into the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had, her whole livelihood." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Here we have a tremendous lesson in giving. Jesus and his disciples were in the temple. In the court of the women, there were 13 collection boxes shaped like trumpets. Each of them received offerings for a special purpose. As people passed by, they would throw their coins into these metal trumpets. You could imagine the noise of the coins dropping into the metal horns and clanging metal on metal. Now, Jesus was interested that day in what people were giving. I always had trouble in the church. I didn't really want to know what people gave. I know some pastors that think they have to know what everybody gave. I didn't want to know, But Jesus was interested in what people gave. He watched with interest as the people passed by and threw in their offerings. Many that were very rich put in large sums of money. And then there came the poor widow and put in her two copper coins. The smallest of the Jewish coins with a value of about 2 cents. Apparently no one noticed. No one cared. No one cared what each person gave that day except Jesus. And when the poor widow put in her two coins, Jesus calls the disciples to himself and teaches them a lesson in giving and the gift that counts. Notice first, the gift that counts is the gift which cost. Giving to be real must be sacrificial. Now, Jesus makes no denunciation of gifts which come of a surplus and abundance. Of course, when we have plenty, we should give of that plenty. We can rejoice when people of great wealth are moved to give of their wealth to help others. However, it remains true that the gift that counts is the gift which cost us something. To be real, giving must be sacrificial. Giving is to be measured relatively to what is left, not absolutely by the size. We often, too often, I think, consider only the size of the gift, not the sacrifice behind the giving. Years ago, I pastored a small country church, and the people would get so excited when about once or twice a year, a doctor who practiced in the community but didn't live there would let the people know that he was going to visit that church on Sunday. And they got so excited because every time he came, he put in $50. That was about a month's salary for the preacher. And everybody would, well, somebody at least, would be sure to let me know that the doctor was going to be there that Sunday so I could recognize him. And in that congregation, there were several truly poor people. People who were faithful in supporting the church each week and giving as they could. And some of them gave $1 a week. And it never seemed to sound out its truth in the ears of most of the people. Those poor people who put in $1 a week every week gave just as much, even in size, as the doctor gave. And they never ever thought of how much greater the sacrifice was for these who put in $1 a week and the doctor who put in $50, but only once a year. In Melissa's church, we started on a building campaign to build a new sanctuary, which, by the grace of God, we did. We brought in a professional finance man to help raise the money. And they developed a slogan for the campaign: not equal giving, but equal sacrifice. That's a good thought. Not equal giving, but equal sacrifice. Again, looking back years ago, I served one church where they believed in equal giving, not equal sacrifice. This church paid me the grand sum of $25 a month. And they had a unique way of paying the preacher. They went through the congregation, and Dr. Bentley paid one Sunday, one month of the year, and Dave Fries paid one Sunday a year, and Todd Huth paid one Sunday a year. You know, every once a month, you know, I'd go there and different person pay my salary every month. Some of the people were pretty well off in that church. Some on their own business. I remember so well a widow with a little boy about 5 or 6 years old was in the church. I loved to visit her home. She was a prayer warrior. But they assigned her to pay my salary 1 month of the year. The only time I ever had a church get behind on my salary, she couldn't pay $25 any 1 month of the year. It's equal giving, but surely not equal sacrifice. And as I thought back upon our campaign at St. Mark, not equal giving, but equal sacrifice, I really didn't know of anybody that made much of a sacrifice. We had an advance campaign for the leaders in the church, and about 30 people came together for a big banquet and a pep rally kind of a thing. And the man that was in charge of it, a member of the church, got up that night. He said, "I don't know how much I'm going to give to this campaign." He said, "I'm going to leave that up to you." He said, "Whatever you pledge tonight, I will match it." I think he was a little bit shocked when that group of people that were there pledged $100,000. But he didn't back off. He gave his $100,000. But his $100,000, he didn't miss nearly as much as somebody that might have given $1,000. You know, Wendy Dell and I gave substantially to that campaign, but I didn't notice that we missed any eating out opportunities or any vacation opportunities or didn't go without needing clothes. You know, we got whatever we needed, whatever we wanted, really. Equal sacrifice. I wonder if today we even know what it is to sacrifice. I think my dad knew something of sacrifice. Dad went for at least 30 years without going to a dentist. He lost all of his teeth because of it. But he made certain that all five of us kids got to the dentist. For over 20 years, he only owned one suit of clothes. And he wore patched overalls and darn socks that we five kids might be properly clothed when we went to school and to church. He did without many things that I'm sure he would have enjoyed, that we all might get an education. He knew what it was to sacrifice. Went to a church years ago that had built a new educational building, and across the years since they'd built it, they had been able to pay the interest on the note, but had not paid any on the principal. And I decided it was time to do something about it and got the church behind it, and we decided we'd raise enough money to pay off the note, have the church debt free. And I really did do a little sacrifice, and then I placed a month's salary, and they weren't paying me but $200 a month, something like that. Winnedale agreed for me to do it if I'd go buy me a suit of clothes before I did it, so I got me a $19 suit of clothes. But we had a church member that worked in the textile mill. He didn't have any extra money to pledge to pay off that building. And he went to a finance company and borrowed a couple of $100s anyway, I don't know how much, to help the church become debt free. And I know for certain that the church was debt free long before he was. He understood something of sacrifice. Perhaps it's a sign of the decline of the church and the failure of Christianity that gifts have to be coaxed out of church people, and that often they'll not give it all unless they get something back in the way of entertainment or goods. The gift that counts is the gift that costs. Given to be real must be sacrificial. Second thing, the gift that counts must be from the heart, given in love. Halford Luckock said the distinguishing mark of the widow's gift was not merely the proportion of her means. There was something in her heart that lifted the gift out of the routine into the realm of sacrifice. There was something in her heart that lifted the gift out of the routine. Surely she could have given many reasons for not giving. After all, she had such a little bit, and her little bit wouldn't really make any difference. You know, it's such a small amount, it just wouldn't count. And also, she needed it for her very livelihood. If she gave this, what would she do for food tomorrow? Let those give that can afford it. I don't really have a penny to spare, she might have said, and it would have been true. We all know the arguments, the justification for not giving that she might have made. After all, we made them ourselves. I think back to my younger days when I peddled ice cream on the streets in our hometown. I drove a donkey to a cart for 6 years and pushed a cart for 3 years. And I was about 16, 17 years old, I don't know. I was talking with a couple one day, and I told him I was trying to save all the money I could so I could go to college. And you know, I really couldn't afford a tie at that time. I was saving my money to go to college, and I knew God wanted me to get an education. So what in need for me to worry about not tithing? They agreed with me. It didn't matter that I wasn't obeying God in the first place. We make our excuses for not giving. But isn't it also likely true that there is a great symbolic truth here? So oftentimes in some part of our lives, we do not give it all to our Lord. Not just finances, but abilities and talents and gifts and graces. We don't give it all to God. There's always something that we hold back. Our failure to give sacrificially shows our lack of total surrender. But Jesus' recognition of the greatness of the widow's gift knocks down our shabby excuses. No gift is too small to count. No gift is too small to count. We're reminded perhaps of a day when the multitudes had followed Jesus out into the country. And as the day drew to a close, the people were hungry and there was nothing for them to eat. And then it was Andrew who stepped forward and said, "Well, there's a lad here. He's got 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what's that among such a great multitude? It's not enough for everyone to even get a crumb to eat." And yet, no gift of love is too small to count. The lad gave all that he had to Jesus. Again, I can imagine me saying, "Well, I'll give part of what I have to Jesus. You know, I've got 5 loaves and 2 fish. I'll keep 2 of the loaves for myself and 1 of the fish, and I'll give Jesus the rest. I want something to eat." But no, the lad gave everything he had in love to Jesus. And it was enough. It was enough. You remember, the whole multitude had enough to eat and to spare. William Barclay said, "We may feel that we have not much in the way of material gifts or personal gifts to give to Christ. But if we put all that we have and all that we are at His disposal, He can do things with it and with us that are beyond our imaginings." I want to say that again. We may feel that we have not much in the way of material gifts or personal gifts to give to Christ. But if we put all that we have and are at His disposal, He can do things with it and with us that are beyond our imaginings. What is the gift that counts? It's the gift that costs, the gift that's sacrificial. And it's a gift that comes from the heart, the gift that's given in love. All other gifts really seem to miss the mark. Consider, Jesus said, the poor widow who gave just 2 copper coins, but it was all she had. Sacrificial gift given in love. No matter how small the gift given to Jesus, it's never too small to count. Lord Jesus, we thank You that You can take us with all of our weaknesses, with all of our imperfections, with all of our failures. You can take us just as we are. And when we give ourselves in love to You, You can take us and do things with us beyond our imagining. And for this, we give You thanks. In Your wonderful name we pray.